Hey everyone, this is your boy Daily News from the Real Dream Podcast. On behalf of Duke Mailman and I, we want to thank all of you guys for listening to us and supporting us. If you like what you hear, please follow us on our social media pages. We're at The Real Dream Podcast on Facebook. We're at TRDcast on Twitter and Instagram. And if that's not enough for you, look us up on Linktree at linktree.com/TRDcast. Thank you all for the support and enjoy the episode. Welcome to the Real Dream Podcast. I'm your host, Daily News. I'm here with my boys, Duke and Mailman. How y'all doing today, fellas?
What up? We good. Let's go. Let's get down to business.
All right. We got some topics that are near and dear to us. Our first topic of the day. Man, we just going to talk about our last episode. We had the lovely Bahia Sabazz on that episode, giving us a ton of information. We didn't get a chance to really talk about it and about, you know, what we got from it and things like that. And so now that we've had a week to kind of digest and absorb all of it, I think I've listened to the episode like 13 times. So I'm going to ask you guys, what about the episode really spoke to you? And you're like, you know what? That's something me and my family or me and my house needs to implement.
Main thing is I went and got the coloring book since then. So yeah. I'm going to go over that, do that with my 4-year-old and probably my 11-year-old. And I did like the fact of when finances are being discussed to add my 11-year-old into that. I think that's a good idea. Because then when I say it ain't in the budget, you know, they understand it's not in the budget. It's not me being hurtful or being mean or whatever the case may be. Because like I said, at the end of the last episode was, you know, when I was a kid and I was being told that, I took it to heart because I was, you know, 7, 8, 9 years old. You know, mm-hmm. If I'm asking for something and you telling me no, or you know what I'm saying, that ain't, you know, you can't have it for whatever reason. I don't care what the reason is. At that time, you don't hurt my feelings and you don't love me no more.
Right.
I feel you. It was two things for me. One, I got the book too. It came in. And so first thing I did was I opened this sucker up, right? And I went to the glossary, right? And this is the second thing. It made me realize that I have no idea what the fuck the lingo is when it comes to fucking events. I'm in a motherfucking booth for 3 to 8-year-olds, and I'm in that booth. That's what they mean. Okay, I knew what stocks was, but I knew what invest mean, but what the fuck? In that bitch like, man. There's so much terminology that I didn't know about. They need to have just a book out on the terminology of all this shit, man. I was like, what the fuck?
Oh, man.
I felt like a real idiot.
What was the idiot. What was the second thing you got from it?
The second thing I got from it was that, you know, it was her as a person and how she was talking about doing her boxing, and then she played football, and you know, all the education that led up to, you know, her eventually doing that and doing the African studies and things like that. And I was just looking at all the different things that she had did, and I was like, man, this is one really well-rounded individual, and I freaking love that aspect of it, because I'm the type of person, I like to dibble dabble in a few things too, and you know what I mean, try to broaden my educational horizon up as much as I possibly can. But I mean, she took it to a whole another level. But I like that fact when she said that she tried doing neurosurgery or being a neurosurgeon or something.
Neuroscience.
Yes, and she was like, that shit was boring as hell. I'm like, I'm glad she fucking said that shit, because I was thinking about the same damn thing. And I'm glad to know that shit's boring, but I like how she took the African studies and then related it to what she does now with investing. And it's like, you know, you got to know your people. If you don't know your people, you can't reach people. And so yeah. I really love that aspect about it.
I think one of the biggest takeaways, everything about that episode, was just how she interacted with us in a way that she was talking about investing. She was talking about life. She was talking about needing to change, but she dumbed it down, or she talked in a way where we all was able to absorb it. And I know our listeners, some of them have reached out to us and talked to us about this, about how it almost felt like she was talking directly to you and how you could relate to some of the things that she was saying. And it was like, man, that really spoke to me. And I think that was, that's not something you learn. That's part of who you are, where it's like you say some shit and it just hits you right where you needed to hear, when you needed to hear it, right? I think I said it after the podcast. There are certain points in life where someone comes into your life and they speak to you and you're like, damn, I needed that right here, right now. And there's something special about that person coming into my life and telling me about that right there. And I think that's how Bahia got through to a certain people, at least the listeners in our podcast, and me in general, or me specifically. That's how I felt. And it was just amazing, man. She really sparked the fire in me, and I think in a lot of listeners, to kind of pursue certain things in life. And I feel like we have to keep doing that. Keep bringing not experts, but people of character on our podcast and getting some knowledge, man. We talk a lot of stuff, but I mean, we're talking from our own experiences, and I think it's nice to have someone that's like, hey, listen, I'm not your typical person. This is how I feel. This is what I think. This is what I know. And I want to let you guys in on it.
And this was one thing that, you know what I'm saying, that keeps fucking with me too, is when she started naming off the, you know, the small cap, medium cap, large cap. Mm-hmm. And
that's shit, man.
And that's she started pouring that shit out towards us. At first I was like, hold the fuck up. How you know I ain't volatile? But then I thought about it. Okay, yeah, I am volatile like a
Yes.
I'm ready to pop some shit off at the fucking club at the bar. Who want it? Who want it?
You know? No. Oh, I'm going to tell it. I'm going to tell it. Our listeners.
Oh, shit.
Years ago, we all at the club. We're not going to tell the specifics of what happened at the club. Needless to say, Duke, me, and a huge group of friends got kicked out of the club. Duke is arguing and ready to fight with one of the people that got us kicked out of the club. Someone texted Mailman that Duke is about to fight.
I'm still in the motherfucking club party.
Yeah. Mailman did get kicked out. I guess he was in the bathroom or something when we and was wondering where everybody got
kicked out. I'm still in at this party.
Yeah. Someone texted him, man, Mailman, Duke out here about to fight so-and-so. This is at the moment when all this was happening. They end up settling it. They end up calming down. Everyone's cool. They're like, look, man, this was a misunderstanding. I apologize. They hash it out. Right when we about to be like, hey, let's shake hands. Let's get back. See if we can get back in or see how we're going to proceed the rest of our night. Here come Mailman, shirt off, yelling, who won it? Who won it? Dude, who won it? I am ready. Let's go. Who won it? Is it him? Is it him? I'm like, oh, my
God. I'm like, I'm going to whoop his ass anyway. Where that nigga
at?
I was looking for
you. I'm waiting to whoop your ass. Let's go. Like, damn, we've been talking to this boy for like 3 months now. You've been holding this thing. You got some animosity built up here.
No, it was like he had did some foul shit, you know what I'm saying, in the clique, you know what I'm saying, beforehand at another party that we was at.
The specifics.
Right, but he did some foul shit at another party. And then here it is again when we like, okay, we're going to try this shit again with him, and he do some more foul shit. Now it's like, you know what I'm saying, now I got to have your ass. You know what I'm saying? Ain't going to be no three strikes. You had one chance. I gave you one free pass, and that was it. Second time, I got to have your ass, goddamn. I guess I am that volatile one. I used to be highly volatile.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong, and this is just going back to the topic we were just talking about not too long ago about our partnership with Greenlight, about how we're now
about how we're
using that. I got listen. My daughter my nephews, they all got their cards. And now me and my daughter this week is implementing chores and stuff to implement or work with it. And so it's dope, man. And now she talks, we get we bring Bahia on. And now she's talking about the importance of financing and investing and instilling this in the young girls. And it's like, dude, this is the right time to hear that. You know what I mean? Real quick, to our listeners, we got a partnership with Greenlight now.
Greenlight. I know y'all heard the
commercial. You just gonna say that shit randomly, ain't you?
Every time you say Greenlight.
That's what I promise. Well, I promise I'm not gonna break my promise.
It's dope too, because they actually reached out to us.
What's the name of it?
Greenlight.
Greenlight.
They reached out to us because they heard the podcast. So I was like, dope. Catalog your thing, your progress. Has any, I know Duke, I know you've gotten your card and you've been using it for a little bit.
Mailman. I haven't got it yet.
Yep.
I haven't got
definitely,
it yet.
Definitely, man. Listen, we have the link in our and on our Facebook and on our Twitter. Definitely use it, man. It's dope. It just sends you straight to the website and it supports the podcast. Also, I'm gonna post the link to Bahia's book. I know we all got it. ABCs to Investing, man, it's just a cute, adorable book, and it's important to instill this in your kids at a young age. And I'm excited to instill this into my daughter, man. She's my world.
I'm not sure a grown ass man should be saying adorable. Sound like your name is delicious or something.
I ain't about to. I don't know.
You don't even sound right saying that. It's adorable. You don't even sound right saying that shit.
Did you just say it sounds like my name is delicious?
Yep.
I wish. I swear to you.
I wish a woman.
No. But I wish a woman would call me delicious. That means she didn't have a taste of daily news.
Oh my god.
That also means she's. Oh, that shit. Also means when it comes to daily news, she's subscribing to the Sunday edition. Let me put that out there right there.
Wait. TMI. I don't even know what that means, but I don't think I like it.
No one knows what it means, but it's.
That's the point. However you interpret it, that's what it means.
Oh my god, y'all too much.
Yeah. Go to break, man. We need to go to the second topic. Go to break.
No shit.
All right. We're gonna take a quick break, man. Enjoy the commercial. We'll be right back. Hey everyone. As a parent, we all want to set our kids up for success any way we can, and that includes teaching them the value of earning, saving, and investing money even at an early age. So when Duke introduced Mailman and I to the Greenlight card, it became something we were very intrigued in. The Greenlight card is a prepaid debit card designed to teach your kids about the fundamentals of personal finance. Using this app and card, kids can earn money through chores, set saving goals, spend wisely, and even invest. As a parent, you can set flexible goals and receive real-time alerts while your child is monitoring their own balance, setting goals for themselves, and learning how to manage their money. The app gives you complete control over your child's money by allowing you to set spending limits at specific stores. Plus, it has unique features like a savings account that earns parent-paid interest and an investing platform where your kids can invest in real time with your permission. Duke's been using this for a while. And
Greenlight!
Yeah, and Mailman and I are just signing up as well for our children because setting them up for success is important. And we want to invite all our listeners to do the same. So if you have children and this is interesting to you and this speaks to you, please go to our Facebook page, our Twitter page, and our Linktree page and find a Greenlight link and sign up. We're excited to share this journey with you guys. And we also want to hear how it works out for you. So let us know. And we're back to the Real Dream Podcast. I'm back with my man's Mailman Duke. We're on to a second topic, man. We're talking about this. We were talking about this idea of deal breakers, which is okay, which everyone has. It's not a big deal when you have a deal breaker in a relationship stance. And that's what we're going to kind of focus on today. But this idea of flaws, too, and that people get them convoluted. And we came across this video. It is from Taraji P. Henson. aka Cookie from Empire, doing an interview where she talks about the difference between deal breakers and flaws and relationships. And I just want to play this, get the fellas' reactions, and hopefully you guys get something from it. So here we go.
Deal breaker is it. It's etched in stone. It's the law, right? A mistake, people make mistakes all the time. And if you're going to love, you have to love the person for their flaws, because we're all flawed and people are going to make mistakes. You got to go into a relationship knowing the person's going to let you down. You know, that's what we do. Humans hurt each other. I don't care who you are, your mom, your dad. Sometimes, some point in life, they said or did something that made you feel a kind of way. You know, that's humans. But when you're talking about loving unconditionally, you got to love that part. You have to love the mistakes. Now, deal breaker, different story. That's not even up for discussion. Once we lay down a law and you break it, goodbye.
First of all, let me establish this. I am the biggest Taraji P. Henson fan since Baby Boy.
That's a cookie I like to bite on, too.
Stupid.
I'm just saying.
You carry on. Oh, man. But all right, fellas, so I'm going to talk to you about this. What's your reaction to this, man? What is your thought process on deal breakers and flaws? And should you love them? Should you not? What in relationships, and how does it speak to you?
I was thinking about this as she was saying these things, and you know, saying like deal breakers. And like, I think we've already touched this topic about deal breakers and things like that. When it comes to mistakes and people making mistakes, like, I can forgive a mistake, you know, just like she said, I can forgive mistakes. And in my relationship now, when my girlfriend tends to make a mistake or something like that, it's not, you know what I mean, the end of the world for me. You know, I talk about it with her and try to work on the issues, and hopefully she corrects the mistake and we don't keep having that problem. But like, deal breaker for me in my relationship is, you know what I'm saying, being talked to in a, you know what I'm saying, any kind of way, or just blatant disrespect. You know, that is a deal breaker for me. So if my girlfriend was to show me any signs of disrespect, I'm done. That is my deal breaker. But mistakes, I can forgive all day long, as long as they're not continuing the behavior after we've addressed it. Then, you know, it doesn't become a deal breaker. But I'm not going to be keep, as the saying goes, beating a dead horse and keep telling you, you know, over and over again, hey, because at one time it's a mistake, twice, okay, but three times, it's a problem at that point.
Habit. I liked how you worded, excuse me, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I like how you worded that, because you said, you explained it as, if my girlfriend disrespects me, right? And that means that she understands. That means you've been together long enough that she understands you and what you classify as disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
That means it's a deliberate thing.
Yeah, exactly that. And that's exactly my point. I would not tolerate deliberate disrespect from my woman. I would not do it. If a person doesn't respect you, that means they'll walk all over you. You know what I mean? Treat you like shit. And the minute they start doing it, you know, lose respect for you and start disrespecting you, it's time to go.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to go, in my opinion.
Yeah, no.
It's time
and
to go.
And this is the beauty about this topic. There's no wrong answer. Everyone treats these questions as how they deal with their own relationships. So there's no wrong answer. Go ahead, Duke. What you think, man?
Yeah, kind of the same thing. We kind of discussed this a couple episodes ago. You got to know the difference between a flaw and a flag. If it's a flaw is something that you can talk through and you guys can come to some sort of conclusion and move forward from it. A flag is something that can cause you physical or mental harm, which is not good for you. There's a book that I've been reading. It's called Start With Why by Simon Sinek. And in it, he's got a quote that says, there's two ways to impact human nature. One is to manipulate it. The other is to inspire it. So which one do you choose to do each and every single day? Are you the type that is going to try to manipulate a situation to make it in your favor? Or are you the type of person that's going to try to inspire somebody to do better? Which one is that going to be? Because that's a huge flag for me. If you're trying to manipulate me, that's a flag. If you're trying to inspire, you know, instead of inspiring me and helping me build, and I help you, of course, this is a give and take, and we both going to do the same for each other, you know, then we can continue on. And then when those flaws pop up, we've got that solid background, those bricks that we build in to build that house. They tough enough to survive those flaws that we both have.
I like the way you put that.
Yeah, man, that's dope.
Hell yeah, I like the way you put that.
I hate to keep coming back to this. I think that's beautiful, by the way, dude. I really do. I hate to keep coming back to this, but I hate this idea of what my flaws were versus what they are now based off of what I've been through. And we've talked about me losing my wife and a lot of my flaws now. A lot of flaws to me are not flaws to normal individuals, right? There are women out there that's like, hey, listen, I want a man that if I'm growing, he's going to be there for me. He's going to support me. He's going to, you know, make sure I'm okay. And that's perfectly okay, right? That's beautiful, right? To sit there and say, I have a person that's got my back no matter what. And at the same token, I'm like, yeah, I totally get that. I might not be that guy, right? I'm going to want you to succeed. I'm going to want you to do well, right? At the same token, because there's a sense of my child has no one else, I feel there's an obligation to prioritize my success and my achievements and my making sure that girl ain't got to worry about shit until she's grown over everything else, right? Including relationships and love. And that is where it's like, all right, whoever I'm with, you got to be okay with that. If not,
I don't mean to cut you off, but I like this question keeps screaming out of my head for me to ask you this. Would you consider yourself at this point in your life, given, you know what I'm saying, the unfortunate loss of your wife and, you know, this hyper sense of, you know what I'm saying, making sure that your daughter has the future, has that made you emotionally unavailable for dating?
Ooh, good question. Good question. Yes, it did.
Mm.
It did. Mm. Man, it was something I had to address in order to take care of her, right? There's parts of me that I had to close off psychologically and emotionally, right? Because I can't sit there and say, hey, listen, I'm going to take your bandages off, change them. You're bedridden. I got to make sure you're safe and healthy and doing this, that, and a third. And I can't show fear or tears in my eyes or emotion, because I know if I feel sad, if I show that, you don't have that rock to lean on anymore. You know what I mean?
Right.
That I'm your rock at the same time as your caregiver. So therefore I have to close off all this shit that, like, you know, this, like, I want to cry, I want to hug you, I want to do all this stuff and show you how vulnerable I am, so that way you always feel like I'm going through hell, I want to fight and I need something to be my rock, and he's my rock, and you can't waver at this moment. And so now fast forward to my time in the present, it took me a while to feel. It took me a while to open up, to feel those emotions again, right? Because you're still in that fight or flight or that survival mode, right? It wasn't like it was like a, you know, something you could just turn off. And it was a couple years of being in that mode where you're like, no, I got to make sure there's a certain safe place for me to be emotional. And now I'm, you know, it's been almost 2 years and I'm still learning that. I'm still learning how to open up and just be emotionally available. You're right. Or it was something I had to figure out, and it didn't come easy. It did not.
I want to, you know what I'm saying, and you don't have to answer this question if you don't want to, but, you know what I'm saying, if you do, I think our listeners will appreciate it. It's just kind of like, what was the first step that you took towards your emotional healing?
Towards my emotional healing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was my dad.
That was the step you took?
Yeah, it was my dad. It wasn't a step I took. My dad, anytime I mention my dad to my listeners, it's not a step I took. It was this motherfucker coming in my life and being like, hey, move. You know what I mean? Like, it was like, move, right? And so it was, I mean, I really didn't like take step towards healing until my dad came up to me. And at some point in time, he had talked to my daughter. My daughter was talking about my wife. And he came to me. He was like, hey, daughter came to me and talked to me about your wife and everything that happened. I was like, yeah, yeah. And he was like, and this was before she passed away. He was like, remember, before anything else, if there's one person you have to be emotionally available to, it's her. Because she's not going to have anybody else in her eyes. She needs to be able to come to you, right? So I was like, okay, fine. That I get. Fast forward, after her passing, my daughter is 9 years old. She does not understand the concept of, oh, there's a time and place for everything. If she feels and she needs to talk, she's going to talk. I had to be available for her because people don't realize stuff like this. Like teachers are like, hey, they're talking to my daughter. I'm like, hey, listen, Mother's Day is in 3 weeks. All the classes are going to create gifts and things to give to their moms. And she is at 9 years old in fifth grade, like fourth, fifth grade. Like, hey, man, what do I do in this situation? You know what I mean? And so she comes home and she confides in me.
She had like, just lost her too.
Yeah, right. Like it was March, rough. You know, Mother's Day is in May. And they're like, hey, let's build stuff for her mom. And she's like, 2 months ago, she was here. 2-3 months ago, she was here and she wasn't. And now I got to be available for all these things. I don't prepare myself as a man and as a father to be available for her. I got to be ready for her first period. Mom's supposed to be helping with that. I got to be ready for a first boyfriend. Mom's supposed to be helping with that. I got to be ready for a first
Her uncle's going to be helping with that.
And I understand where you're coming from. And you know what I'm saying? I know you how serious you take your responsibility as a father for. But I'm talking about when it comes to dating and relationships, have you healed enough to where you are emotionally available to be in another relationship?
If I'm being completely honest, not 100%, not 100%, man. I don't, there's certain things like it's a struggle. It's a daily battle. I don't know if it's ever going to be, I mean, there's people 10, 20, 30 years that don't heal from some stuff like that. Right.
Right. Right. That's why I said, what was the steps you're taking? So just in case one of our listeners are, you know what I'm saying, out there are dealing with something like that, and you know, a clue or a hint or just some type of direction to go into, you know what I'm saying, to start the emotional healing. Well,
it's all about communication. So the situation that you're in right now, News, that can be one of two. That can either be a flaw or a flag. The difference is the communication that you have with the person that you're with. That's what makes it a quote unquote flaw, because then she can understand it. She can process it so that when you have those times that are a little difficult, like the conversation you just had, she can understand that. You know what I'm saying? To where it would be a flag if you didn't explain that stuff to her, because then that conversation can go completely a different direction. Those exactly. are the differences. Communication makes a difference.
Way to bring it home, Duke. Way to bring it home. Like that through the goalposts, Duke and I, shit.
Right?
Yeah, it's good.
Damn, we ain't doing deep though, man. Shit. Sorry, listeners. I to our listeners, man.
Green light.
We're gonna take a quick break, man. We'll be right back, y'all. Stay tuned. Hey everyone, we're excited to announce our partnership with Greenlight. A green light card. Yeah.
Hold on. I wrote a commercial. You want to hear it? Here you go. Green light. Because I use it and they're paying me for it. Right. Cha-ching. Bam, baby. There you go.
And that's commercial. All right. Back to the show. And we're back to the Real Dream Podcast. We're on to a third topic, a third segment of the day.
On the next episode of Ratchet News. Let's get wretched.
If I our listeners can see your face when you do this shit. They be dying. I swear to God, they be on their knee dying. Oh my God. Sorry.
Right. Okay, let's get to it. Let's get to the ratchet, man. Our news article goes as follows. People divided after woman calls out fake friends at her sister's funeral.
Man. Damn.
I know. Man, she, boy, oh boy. Let's put it out there. People are divided after a woman uploaded a video that appears to call out fake bitch ass at her sister's funeral. TikTok star Jasmine shared a video with her followers, and soon it had over 10 million views alongside countless comments. In the clip, Jasmine is standing at an altar and giving a speech at the funeral for her sister, Ariana.
Play the clip.
You're a fake bitch. She didn't even like you. You owe her money, and I didn't see you donate to my sister's funeral, so you're automatically disqualified. You could leave the room. Yeah, bye. Bye. Don't be all surprised now.
Oh shit! You disqualified. You just walking papers. You can leave it.
Well, yep. For real. Really?
I'm telling y'all right now, at my funeral, if y'all ain't doing that shit, don't even come. Motherfucker ain't my friend. Kick their ass out. Fuck that. We wasn't cool when I was alive. We don't need to be cool now. Fuck all that fake shit. I'm with her on that.
This is weird because, man, she's got some mixed reviews. Like, one person said, like, one person is sympathizing with the sister that passed. She's like, she didn't even seem sad about it, though. Like, she didn't even seem sad at the funeral. While other people...
Hold on. Rewind that back. Sympathizing with the... Somebody was sympathizing with the sister.
The dead sister. Like, you supposed to be sad at a funeral for me. You supposed to be crying. Why ain't she sad at her sister's funeral? While another person, right? While another one said, we need to normalize calling people out because all of a sudden... When you're dead, everyone was your friend.
That's true, man.
It's a hot topic.
You know, they say it's bad to speak ill of the dead. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But you can like call that. Them fake-ass friends out like a motherfucker.
Mm-hmm. For real.
Shit. Hey, when I saw this shit, I was like, damn, that's gangster little motherfucker, man. That is just all the motherfuckers out. You disqualified. Mm-hmm. I was like, fucking bravo to you, bitch. That's a brave move. I don't know if I'd have did it at the funeral, but you like, at the podium, but call ass out to the side, call her to the side or something, and put ass on blast. You know what I'm saying? She did that shit in front of everybody. She wanted everybody to know. If you owed her money. How do you know that bitch owed her money?
Because she told her.
Yeah.
That's why. Her sister told her.
Listen, sisters don't keep secrets. Sure. Any nasty, ignorant, mean shit you have done to a woman, if anybody knows her sister,
baby, they should have bitch pay you that money she owed me.
You going to hell?
I'm sorry. I want my money.
I don't know if calling them out at their funeral is the time to do it. At the same token, though, if I'm alive, bring that same, and you don't like me, you got issues with me, bring that same energy when I'm gone. Don't be...
Exactly.
And it's a testament to everybody, man. Look, appreciate the people you have while they're on this earth now. This woman didn't die of old age. She died in a car accident. That shit can happen to anybody. Value life and value the relationships you have, and don't just try to be like, oh yeah, I'm gonna be a shitty friend because you don't mean nothing to me, and then you're gone. It's like, oh my gosh, I've screwed up. No, man, don't regret it. If you're gonna feel that way when they dead, that means you need to fix that relationship while they're here.
You know what I'm saying? When it comes to, you know, addressing fake friends, it's like, if you already know a motherfucker's on some shady ass shit and they being a fucking fake friend with me, I'm not just not going to fucking deal with you. You know what I'm saying? Like, fuck that shit. You just became an ex-friend. You know, I'm not going to fucking keep you in my circle and keep you in my life, you know what I'm saying, knowing that you're a fake-ass fucking friend. Now, do friends make mistakes sometimes? Yes, they do. Nobody's perfect. You know what I'm saying? And like we were just talking about earlier, you know, I can forgive mistakes that my friends have made. But, you know, I'm not going to deal with no fake shit. I'm not going to be fucking still calling myself friends with some fake motherfuckers. I'm not going to do it. That's probably why I don't have that many friends now. I fuck with you two motherfuckers, and that's it.
Well, we not friends. We brothers. This is their friend.
Exactly. Right. We family.
Right. Yeah. So I honestly don't think I got any friends. I got family. That's it.
You the last one to talk about calling motherfuckers out like with fake friends. That's exactly why you was young. Who won it? Who won it, Duke? Outside of club. You talking about that? Yeah, we know how you feel about that shit.
No, I'm a fucker. I will call a motherfucker out too. I tell a motherfucker too, flat out. Fuck hey. Motherfucker, I've been waiting to kick your ass. I don't even like your ass. Honestly, truth be told, I just tolerate your ass because everybody else likes
me. Hey, I got a fun fact for you fellas, man. Just to add on the episode. Did you know there's a total of 2 million podcasts in the world?
2 million?
Yeah.
Jeez, 2 million. Total.
Yeah, that's total. About the total 2 million series. You want to hear something crazy, though, about how people just give up and they just like, all right, we done. There's 2 million of them. Half of them don't make it past episode 14.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe you're saying something like that. Yeah,
to our listeners, really? Out of the 2 million, it's, you know, they lose interest, things happen, whatever the case may be, right? They don't know. It gets boring. They're not getting the clout, whatever, right?
Yeah, cloud chasers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is our 15th episode. So we already passed the halfway mark, right?
That's what's up.
Right? So,
fucking right. Hell yeah, man.
Hey, listen. And I think that's the beauty of this podcast, man, because it's not about the clout. It's not about the fame. It's about growth. And that's what we focused on. And we just taking our listeners along to the ride. And honestly, man, I'm going to be straight up with you. I appreciate everybody who listens to this episode, man, or any episode of ours, whether it be Bammer, Carly, Big Duel, or Big Duel to Don, or whatever she decides to change her Twitter name to. Hey, Duel, you know who we talking to, man. Patrick, anybody, Johnny, Christian, anybody who listens to our, hold on, Miss Britain, we're going to name them all. Wait, hold on, we're going to name them all. Big Sis, I see you. Anybody at the medical center who just play our podcast out loud so all y'all hear it, I'm talking to y'all. Thank you. Yeah, Big Pat, we appreciate y'all, man. We appreciate everybody. We love y'all. Honestly, man, I love y'all too, man. I'm the man I am today without you two. So, Mailman and Duke, man, I love you too. I truly, truly
love you too, bro. For real.
Yeah. Hopefully y'all.
Yeah, I say that with the respect. No. We're gonna keep it going. I'm thanking everybody. I'm happy today. We thanking Bahia Shabazz. We thank you too, man. We appreciate you for our last episode. We're gonna keep in contact and keep you updated on how we do. And Brown Girls Do Invest. Anybody who's on that platform who's using it, definitely love y'all too. If y'all listening to us. Like she says, man, we not a small podcast. We just a podcast that's just getting started, man. And we excited to Duke and Mail, man. Free listen, life. Fellas.
There you go.
My God.
Listen, you gotta hit it with that shit too.
listen, I love you guys. I wish you nothing but success and happiness in life, man. And to all our listeners out there, y'all keep dreaming. Take care.